I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is Jazz Game Day right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're going to be dipping in a little bit early to some Jazz pregame starting at 5 o'clock. So shorter show for us today, Scott Mitchell.
Yeah, you know, we like to when the Jazz play.
Yeah, but, you know, be a little bit more considerate, would you?
They're losing, but they're really not. Okay, I'm just telling you, I've been looking at the teams that are ahead of them in this race to make the play-in game, and I'm not joking here. There's a legitimate chance the Jazz could actually make it into the playoffs or the play-in.
I don't want it. Do you want it?
I don't care either way.
The thing is tonight is going to be fascinating.
I just think it would be fun. I really do. I think it would be fun to see, you know, and I David Locke, I agree with what he said, you know, to have that extra game, to see the Jazz playing in one game. You know, it's just kind of one and how do you play this game and what do you do? And to see Will Hardy react in that situation and to see the players react in a situation where you're fighting to get into the playoffs. I'd love to see that.
But tonight's going to be funny because although the Spurs don't actually have, because I was looking at the standings, and I was thinking if there were something that could come out of this game or in the next few games, could the Spurs improve their situation? And the answer is yes, they have the opportunity because they're only a game and a half ahead of the Rockets.
Yeah, but Detroit's.
But the Rockets are actually a game and a half ahead of them, if you know what I mean. They're behind them, but ahead of
right.
them. Right. And that's where you want to be. If you're the Spurs, you're going, hey, man, we got 19 wins. The Rockets have 18. Hey, Jazz, Jazz, take the wheel because I want to know what's going on. And the Jazz are going like this. Lowry's out. Colin Sexton's out. JC's still out. Rudy Gay's on. I know that was going to be a big one for you, Scott. I know you were wondering if Rudy Gay was still going to be out.
Rudy Gay was actually bringing his game here before he got injured.
So
maybe that's why he got injured because he was.
I love the lower back pain too.
He's shooting too much.
The thing is you know,
shooting too many three pointers,
when guys go,
hurt your back.
He's got lower back pain. I go, me too. And yeah. Rudy Gay and I are basically the same age. Now, Rudy Gay's not like. I mean, he's what, 37 or something like that, 36. I think we looked at it, and he was older than Will Hardy. But it's around the time that you want to be getting that lower back pain. But the Jazz tonight, they've lost more games this year against the Spurs than they've won, right? And so the Jazz versus the Spurs has been an interesting matchup this year.
So if they both have the same record, well, they can't catch the Spurs for the
No, they can't at all. That's the thing is that there's no point in trying to, quote-unquote, catch the Spurs. You're not going to. The best you can do if you're the Jazz in the West is for you to – because right now they're just sitting in the spot – They could be worse than the Trailblazers, possibly, but that's not going to happen either. I don't think you're going to see – they're going to stick in this spot. And the Mavericks are desperately trying to get into the play-in.
I've got a question about the bad spots.
Yeah.
So do you want to do this?
Yeah, let's do the show. I guess we can get into the show. Jeremy, let's start the show off with the cut as we always do. So let's get going here. It's a shorter show today, so you have to listen extra carefully. It's unrivaled. It's the cut. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut and our program, as always, presented by the folks at G2G Bar. If you have not tried a G2G Bar, you've got to give it a shot. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. It is a perfect protein bar. Check it out. Go to Costco, Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick. They're all in the refrigerated section, so try them out. Also, Trajan Wealth. TrajanWealth.com is the website, T-R-A-J-A-N Wealth. If you're looking to plan out your retirement, TrajanWealth.com.
I have a question.
Yeah, what do you got?
My question is about, so if you're a bad team and you tie with another team, so you're two bad teams with the same bad record.
Right. I think it goes to their head-to-head.
But does the head-to-head, so if you win the head-to-head, do you go,
yeah,
well, we want the lower position.
No, but that's the thing. So if you won those games against them,
you're
out of luck. They win by losing.
So you beat a bad team.
Yeah.
And they actually benefit because
the head-to-head, you were unfortunately better than they were.
Wow.
So I don't know where the Spurs and Rockets are in that back and forth. And
I'm not
interested in looking at a combined record of these two teams. They have 107 or 114 losses between the two of them right now. And so I'm like, the Spurs and the Jazz tonight, but it's interesting because the Spurs they already beat the Jazz in San Antonio earlier this year. That was like one of the biggest letdown games we'd seen. I think it was maybe the day after Christmas, I think. It was a massive letdown because the Jazz were doing so well, and then they go down to this garbage San Antonio team that was not interested in winning, and they blew them up down there. And then they came back here. The Jazz beat them while they were in like a 6 or 7 game losing streak, and then the very next game, again at home, lost to the Spurs. And so they had this weird thing against this team.
What it is, it's like that player, the running back, who's going in to score, and they tell him not to score, right? Because it's like, don't score, and we'll win the game. And it's the same thing with the San Antonio Spurs. Don't win, and we're going to win this game. And all of a sudden, they get in the game, and the Jazz are letting them go score touchdowns, and they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
So when these athletes get on the floor, they lose their brains. They can't help themselves, and they go out and they do something dumb.
And good for that.
And actually win the game.
I'm glad that they worked their butts off, but again,
it's dumb, but it's smart.
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to point something out.
Yeah.
I got to point something out. The Jazz, it feels like, are kind of maybe starting to wave the surrender flag a little bit. Like, it just the last few games, it's been like, okay, Maybe the fight's gone a little bit. Maybe we've asked too much of these players. We're too depleted. We're, you know, too beat up, whatever we are. The problem with that is there are four teams ahead of the Jazz in the play for the potential of being in the play-in. Okay? New Orleans, the Lakers, OKC, and the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah.
They're not going to get those guys.
No.
Oh, you think it's happening?
No. Here's the thing. New Orleans has a brutal schedule. Like, potentially, I mean, they're playing all really good teams down the stretch. They don't have a Houston Rockets game. They don't have a Detroit Pistons game. They're going to have to show up, put their big boy pants on, and win some really good games. So potentially, even though they're in the 8th spot, you could see New Orleans, they could lose a lot of games down the stretch. They have 6 games left. The Lakers are kind of a 50-50. The OKC is kind of 50-50. Dallas is kind of 50-50.
Yesterday, they suck again today.
Yes, they do.
The point is all the teams ahead of the Jazz, they don't have it's not a shoe-in. And the Jazz, by the way, play the Lakers twice, and they play OKC.
And the Lakers want to win. Like, they're starting to find some weird groove right now. And I guarantee,
but the Jazz they play them twice,
so they could steal that. They could steal those games away from them.
They're going to play them the last game of the season, and that game literally could be a game to get my point of all of this.
We gave away those tickets yesterday to that now interesting Jazz Lakers game coming up next, what is it, Thursday? Yeah.
My point is it feels like the Jazz are out of this. And if you're going to ask me what I think, I think the Jazz are kind of out of the season right now. But if you look at these four teams ahead of them, you could argue and say, hey, hold on just a minute. This thing isn't over because a lot of these teams are going to maybe be somewhere around 500 or less the rest of the way out of the season. And the Jazz are only 2.5 games out of the 8 spot. I mean, they're a game and a half out of 10.
We're running out of time, though, here.
I understand, but I'm just looking at kind of the games here. Now, with the way the Jazz have been playing, it's probably really hard, but it's not a crazy probability is all I'm saying.
Okay. Let me bring something up, because as I'm looking at these Western Conference standings, and it's going to be it's beyond a shorthanded team that you're getting tonight. Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Rudy Gay, Lauri Markkanen. I think Simone Fontecchio is listed as questionable or a game time decision. I haven't seen the official one on that, but either way, you're going to be pretty shorthanded. But you're going to have guys who are trying to earn their spot in this world, right? And you got guys like Walker Kessler who are going to be still. I mean, he's in this insane spot right now where he is just developing at lightning pace, right? It seems like every game he learns something new, he becomes something better, and you're going to get that out of him probably tonight. And I think that this is a good team for him to match up against. Now, the Spurs aren't interested in winning games. They've only won 19 games this year. The Jazz have won 16 more games than this team has, than the Spurs have. And yet two of those wins that San Antonio has, the Jazz account for more than 10% of the wins this year for the San Antonio Spurs. So there you go. But this Jazz team, I was looking at this Western Conference, these Western Conference standings, and I was going, oh my goodness, who's the biggest disaster in the West this year? You think about what the Suns should be, and they're not, okay? But they could be coming around now that KD is supposed to be making his debut, his debut tonight. His home debut, which he was about to make and then rolled his ankle during warm-ups, seems fishy. The Clippers were a team that were supposed to be a little bit higher in a spot than they are right now, except for they're kind of built a little bit more for the playoffs. At least that's what we've been told. The Warriors and a mystery injury is kind of keeping them in this weird sixth spot, but they're okay to be in that sixth spot because they're going, good, we're going to take the Kings on. And the Kings are the biggest shock in the West, unless you look at the Dallas Mavericks when you look at the shock in a worse direction. I am absolutely flabbergasted by this Mavericks team. How on earth do they not have any success? How on earth would you ever want Kyrie Irving ever on your team if all it's going to do is send your superstar into massive depression, which is what it looks like that Luka Doncic is in right now, and send your team in a reverse direction of what you were trying to do? Imagine Mark Cuban going, we got him. And they're high-fiving each other in the boardroom on that trade deadline day. And they got Kyrie Irving. He's coming to Dallas. And then they get him, and they are a game and a half ahead of the Jazz, who basically over the last 8 games have been without their best players.
And Dallas has a tough road.
They don't have it easy either. They're hitting the East Coast for the next for 3 out of their last 6 games.
Here's what I think. I think you mentioned these teams and what they have. They have players that are seasoned playoff players, right? The Suns have had success in the playoffs. The Clippers, Golden State has had that success. You could argue the Lakers. The Lakers are kind of coming into their own. And these teams understand this time of year. They understand that there has to be just a little bit more urgency in their play. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel. A lot of these guys probably have had a decent amount of rest. So they can really make a push in and through the playoffs. And the playoffs, I think, give these teams a chance to rest and prepare and strategize a little bit more than maybe the regular season. So I think you're going to see, how do the Sacramento Kings, for me, how does Memphis, how does really even Denver, how do these teams in the top half of the West who maybe don't have the same kind of playoff experience? Sacramento, when you watch them play, you go, they're a pretty good team. And are they? Do they have players that can rise up in the playoffs and kind of become the next generation of talent in the West? But it's certainly a fascinating time to me, and it's also a little bit perplexing because you're like, well, where was this during the regular season?
Right.
And I think it's perplexing to me because in football, every game matters, right?
There's no stretch of seven games where you didn't do great.
No,
like, that's okay.
No, and you just can't have that. And so basketball is more of a marathon. It's more of a, you know, peaking at the right time. It's more about how you pace yourself. And load management is a real thing. And it's a thing that these good teams and these good coaches understand and learn how to manage their players in the right way. I do want to ask you a question about Walker Kessler.
Yes.
Because it does seem like he's taken a different tone, right?
He's growing up in these last 10 games even though all year it's been seemed like it. But the last, like, even the last two or three, you're going, my goodness, he's finding a different gear.
Yeah. I wonder if his being able to do this has something to do with the Jazz not having as many games in the second half of the season,
right.
where coaches have had more time.
For sure.
They've had gaps. They've had practice sessions. But not just with him, but him with other players. And when you play with a big player like that and who has a unique skill set like he does, figuring that out and figuring it out with a lot of different lineup changes, a lot of different point guards, you know, guys that set you up, it takes some time to get used to and get confident, you know, how you're passing, where you're passing, when you're passing to a big man. And I just think having that extra practice time has been one of those kind of hidden gems or hidden like really positive things that has helped the Jazz. Maybe not this year, but you know, will certainly help in the future. Because it's what a great thing to go, hey, let's work on this in practice, and then go try it in a game, and then you start having confidence with it. And then you just elevate your game to a new level, as opposed to, well, let's wait for the offseason, go work on our game in the offseason, and then see what, you know. And so now next year, Walker Kessler is going to start the season at a much more advanced place than he would have normally because of maybe getting this extra time to work and practice on things.
Walker Kessler has been, you know, he's been developing. We like how this guy looks. We love what the future of what he is going to be for this franchise looks like. Everybody's excited about what the offseason is going to be for this Jazz team. And yet, at the same time, there's this interesting part in the back of your head of where is this team going to be? Would it be a better developmental thing for them to go to a one-game play-in tournament? That might earn them a second game in it to try to be in the playoffs. Certainly, the playoff experience, so to speak, is important. I don't know if a one-game playoff experience is
critical or going
right.
to really, you know,
it's
tilt
not
the
a
scales
seven-game
of the
series.
No.
And the odds,
but
of, them,
it'd be fun,
and
don't
the odds
you think?
Of them getting to a seven-game series is slim to none.
But it's fun to, you know, to see, you know, just maybe a little one-game exhibition type of thing.
What does this team look like when injuries aren't besetting them, right? Yeah. Later on in the season. And who knows, too, because like a finger strain is a huge deal.
Yeah.
But like if you're in the playoff hunt, is JC coming back is maybe a little bit more quickly, yeah. right? Is Lauri Markkanen going to find a way to play in this game? He likely would. I mean, I'm not the team doctor. I don't know how bad this left wrist contusion is or the left hand contusion is.
But doesn't it seem weird? Like if you were in his shoes and you've just been sitting out all this time, or Carl Anthony Towns, who just
these guys don't want to not be playing,
or you know Zion Williamson.
Oh
like,
gosh, that guy.
You know, it's like how do you or a Ben Simmons? It's just weird how these guys. I don't know. I'd be so nervous not being able to play in a game. It's like I don't care. Fine, my finger got cut off. Just put me in the game. I just basketball's a little hard for me that way. I will tell you, this is what I think about tonight, though.
Yes.
I think tonight will tell you what this season is going to be. If the Jazz win this game, there's a chance.
Okay.
Right? But if they don't win this game, turn out the lights. Like
the, this is the linchpin game.
This absolutely.
It's been like that for like 4 weeks
No.
Like, this is when we're going to find out if this team's going to start canning it.
No, because they can't anymore because they've got tough games coming. They have to win this game if they got any shot. Right. This is the must win game.
Well, you're going to get pregame in about an hour and a half right here on the Jazz Radio Network, your exclusive home of the Jazz, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're going to take a quick break. When we do, we will come back and we will ask Scott anything, our Wednesday feature of asking Scott questions around the sports world. I've got stuff to bring up from college football in the magical world in which Jimbo Fisher lives at Texas A&M. Plus, how the pitch clock could not just be shaving time off of these games, but is it shaving off time from the America's pastime? Scott has some solutions as to how this game could improve, not just because of the pitch clock. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
But we have to go out there on the field. We have to execute and create great habits to allow us to have success. You know, play with great alignments, great assignments, great techniques, give great effort, which allow us to execute, which at the end of the day is what it's all about. But at the end of the day, football gets back to blocking, tackling, leverage, low man wins, hand placement, hat placement, steps, angles, leverages. And that's what it all is.
It's an easy formula. All you got to do is hit another guy, score more points than them. Every coach is doing the same thing.
Thanks, Jimbo Fisher. There you go. That was the head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies.
When Don Shula told me that, he goes, football basically boils down to blocking and tackling. I was so disappointed. I was like, come on, there's got to be more than that.
Okay, here's my question then, Jimbo. Why do you get paid $9.5 million a year if your guys can't block or tackle or win games?
Well, and if it's that simple, I mean, anybody can do it, right?
Sorry, I got it wrong. He's not paid $9.5 million. He's made $11.5 million. Jimbo Fisher's the fourth highest paid coach in freaking college football. What a doofus.
Didn't he show up on our show before?
He shows up all the time because of the stuff he says.
Go talk to God.
You don't see somebody, go talk to God. You know, ask the football god, Nick Saban, kind of deals he's doing with the devil.
Speaking of God.
Here we go.
Greg Popovich.
Okay.
He's kind of up there,
he's
right?
He's kind of a baseball or a basketball guy. Yeah, sure. Yeah. In the coaching world. Why
and
not?
I just wonder, you have a big brother, right?
I've got two.
And they just probably tormented you when you were little.
I'm the youngest, and so I was tormented by not just older brothers, but older sisters as well.
The whole thing, right?
Yes.
And no matter how hard you try, and you may even be better, there's a certain time in your life you just can't beat your older sibling. And I have to wonder if maybe Will Hardy's going through this with Greg Popovich. And Greg Popovich just says, look, I may have taught you everything but I did not teach you everything that I know.
Let me give you a better comparison.
Analogy?
Yeah.
Good one.
It's the dad's strength.
Oh.
Son and dad's strength.
Right.
So when I was in high school,
yes,
I think when I was 17 – I was like at peak strength probably for me. I remember getting to the point where I could bench over 300, mm-hmm. I could squat over 450,
yep.
and I was on the wrestling team. And my dad, who I was bigger than since I was probably about 15,
yeah.
Taller, bigger, all of it. And yep. At this point, definitely stronger because, you know, he's working a desk job at this point. His days as a Marine, gone.
Yeah.
His days as a college football player, gone.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there's a psychological thing that goes on top of the fact that your dad has an amount of pride that you have no idea what it is. You're like, Dad, And so I asked my dad to wrestle one time. Let's wrestle, Dad. And he's like, sure. And my dad didn't even wrestle. And he beat the heck out of me.
But he was a Marine, Alex.
And he laughed. And he was laughing.
He was a Marine.
I was trying my freaking tail off. And he's laughing with his elbow in the back of my head. And I'm on the carpet. And he's just laughing. Because I go, okay, Dad, well, let's do this. Let's see what we got here. And he was like, you don't want to do this. And I said, come on. Dad's strength is a real thing. Will Hardy is experiencing dad strength against Greg Popovich.
That is a better analogy because I used to play golf with my dad, and then I could outdrive him, and I outscored him, and then we never played golf anymore. So when it does end,
right?
And my youngest son still thinks he's going to get taller than I am.
The biggest,
Dad, I think I've almost got you now.
Well, he's like 20, isn't he?
Yeah,
and so he's probably got a couple years maybe left that he could grow.
He's not going to outgrow me.
All right, fine, but. But the dad strength is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Older brother conniving ways is a real thing.
Yes.
When my brother, I could never beat him in anything, right? Ever.
Right.
And my mom's like, you don't relax. You're going to be bigger than he is. And I was. Right. And you know what happened? He still beat me at everything. It was terrible.
Well, you have to wonder if Greg Popovich is just flexing that muscle right now.
Oh.
Because there's no reason that San Antonio should not beat the Jazz this year. No way.
Two out of three so far. Now they're going to be in San Antonio again, and we'll see how that goes. Scott, let me ask you anything. That's what our segment is. We get to ask you anything, and we're going to do it courtesy of the folks at Matland Supply. Locations throughout Utah for all of your HVAC, plumbing, waterworks, geotextile, landscape, agricultural, irrigation needs, mountainlandsupply.com. Let me ask you first about the pitch clock before we get to Jimbo Fisher, because I do want to get back to what his stupidity was, but The Major League Baseball pitch clock is in spring shaved off on average per game 26 minutes.
That's a half an hour. That's it. Look, baseball games that you go watch, Major League Baseball, they go a while.
They go a while.
And, people are getting up and they're of course it is. Yes, because they get up, they go get their popcorn, they come back, they go get their beverage, they come back, they go get and so if you're on the end, you're constantly getting up and getting down. But people don't care because they just go, right?
So are you?
Because you're not going to really miss anything.
Are you disappointed by the fact that when you go to a game, because watching games on TV, having it shortened by a half hour, that actually works great because you're going, hey man, this is great for me. This works out better. And I knew the pitch clock was successful because the B's games have been doing this for a while now, and it's awesome to get home and be like, oh dude, that was a 2 hour and 23 minute game.
Right,
and that's way better than having to go through a three and a half hour game. It's so bad, and so the Major League pitch clock shaving off those 26 minutes, great. I think unless you're at the game, which you want to waste time at, it's America's waste time, not pastime.
Actually, I look at it as it's adding 26 minutes to my life, so I'm actually extending my life.
There you go.
Where I don't have to watch baseball, but what I'm concerned about is you can't get up and down anymore.
Oh, you can't miss any action.
No, you can't be missing the action. So if they had a drone, like if they could drone my food and I didn't have to miss.
Hold on.
No, but I want a drone.
Jeremy's like,
I don't want someone to deliver. I want a drone and just have it come out of the sky. So it's
A drink? How do they drone your drink in?
Well, they have like, have you not seen drones today? Okay, let me just tell you something.
I still want like an ability to catch something that drops.
Hang on. You have to do. You're going to St. George.
Yes.
Okay. There's a Japanese steakhouse. They have some kind of robot that brings the food out to people by itself.
Yeah, it's the same robot that vacuums the Walmart aisles,
and
right?
it will sing happy birthday. It will wish you a happy anniversary. That's what I want. I want some drone, so I don't even have to gaze my eyes away from the action.
Ever. Okay.
And I will spend more. I will eat more. I will be a consumer if I get a drone in a baseball game. And if you can do that, I love saving 26 minutes.
Okay. So drop a drone. Drop a drink on Scott's lap.
Drop a drone.
look, Amazon's been trying to figure this out too. Can I just drop a drone of a package at your house?
Let me tell you, you know what they're doing?
Huh?
They spent $1 billion. I want to say it was it United Airlines for 200 drones. for a taxi service to take people.
I would be nervous as
could
heck.
You imagine being droned?
But like, drug me before you drone me, please.
Gonna,
I do not want
to drone me to some.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be in a pilotless situation. I don't want to be in it because what they're saying is like, well, I mean, if this thing goes down, we won't lose anybody. Well, I mean, we'll lose you, but right. We won't lose any of our crew.
Yeah,
we'll just lose. We'll just get $300,000 drone or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get a new drone.
You can't get a new you, but we'll get a new drone. If you pulled up and the robot is into the pilot seat, I'm out.
They spent $1 billion on this.
No, hopefully it works for them. Yeah. I'm not taking it.
If they can spend $1 billion and drone a person
and
give me a drink at a baseball game.
I've seen too many of those videos of the Tesla cars blowing through the fake intersection and hitting the fake kid that I go, I can't do it yet. I can't do the automated everything yet.
You can't get in your Tesla and fall asleep.
Have you
and just
seen
let
those
it...
videos of people who are in California and they're on the freeway and they're just... And they're going down the road asleep in the front seat, both passengers. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I would never trust
I'm a control freak. I couldn't do it either.
All right. So Jimbo Fisher, speaking of control freaks.
Yes.
He says, yeah, every football team does the same thing. You got to hit. You got to score. You got to throw the football, complete it. And I don't know what he was getting at. I don't know what he was trying to say.
Well, his point is that nothing's original in football.
Everyone
steals from everyone. So schemes are all the same. And there's some truth to that because in my experience, when you go learn a new offense, it was just a different name for the same thing. So you're basically learning a language. You know, how do they call a formation and how do they call, you know, this protection and how do they call this pass play or this running play? And they all have their own little cute name for it. But it means the same.
So
there's some truth. There is some truth to it, but it's a whole lot more complicated than what Jimbo Fisher said.
It sounds like a really dumb, like, hey man, aren't we all animals on this planet? It's like, dude, no. He goes, it's not scheme. Bobby Petrino's not going to invent some amazing scheme. It's like, well, then why'd you hire him?
No,
it's
about execution. It is scheme.
And that's what he says. It's not.
No,
he goes, it's not. It's about execution.
But here's the scheme.
We have the sound right here. Here's what he said about it.
We get so caught up in it's not scheme. It's execution. And then that goes back to how do you execute? Fundamentals. Alignment, assignment, technique. No matter what you do. And if you want to know technicals, if you go watch everybody in the country, everybody does the same thing. Go watch a film. If you sit down and watch film, there's not a hill of beans between anybody as far as what goes on, what routes are, what plays are. It's a counter is a counter. A dig and a post is a dig and a post. Verticals are verticals. I mean, it's all the same. It gets back to execution and fundamentals.
Everybody runs the same routes.
Hold on just a second there. Because
a dig is a dig. A vertical is a vertical. Like, come on.
No, it is, but it's like, so... So what he's describing, these are tools, okay? And you take a tool and you're going to use it to build a house or to construct a scheme, right? And he's right. You know, there's only so many ways you can run a route. There's only so many ways you can block. There's only so many ways you can pass protect. That's very true. But it's when do you use those things? When do you call a vertical? When do you call a dig? When do you – and that's the difference. And it really is. And it's a willingness to get creative in the timing of when you call certain plays. So, for example, very few teams are going to go, we're going to run a go route, a vertical, on first down, the first play of a game. Some people go, hey, why don't we try this? A lot of people won't. Some people go, every time we start a drive and we're inside our 20-yard line, we're going to run the ball. Most teams in college football actually run on second down, no matter what. You know, it's a very common thing at the University of Utah. If you've thrown the ball on first down, if you've run the ball on first down, more than likely you're going to run the ball again on second down. And the philosophy, that's the scheme, is – we want to try to get at least some positive yards to make third down not so long or not so hard. And then you get other coaches like a Lincoln Riley, and you know what Lincoln Riley does? Man, we're going for it on fourth down. Like, we're going to be really aggressive in how we call plays. And that's where it's different. And you got to get smart minds, creative minds. You show different formations, show different – that's scheme. That's being smart. That's being innovative. That's being creative. Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, he did some things and where they scored the touchdowns that were wide open. And he was good at watching what the other team did and calling plays at the right time. And that's been my experience, is when you get someone who's really good at that and understands that, it's fun to play for a coach like that. When you get a coach that's not like that, that's not creative, that's kind of timid, kind of plays not to lose as opposed to being aggressive and playing to win, that's where things that happens. And all coaches are not created equal.
No, they're not.
Kyle Whittingham's philosophy, this isn't a knock on Kyle Whittingham, is to be very conservative. However, he's modified that philosophy as he's evolved in the Pac-12, knowing that you've got to be aggressive, you have to score more points, and so
now
there's
he's a two-time champion.
There's a willingness to change, but it is not just everybody does the same thing. That's a silly
Jimbo Fisher.
Silly state.
You can't say that when you're making $10 million a year, whatever it is. You can't. You got to say we have some stuff in our bag of tricks that are better than other people, and you can't just go, well, the reason we went 5-7 last year. By the way, that was their record. A&M went freaking 5-7. They have had like the best recruiting class, or at least the top three, in the past 4 years. All right.
Let me give you another example really quick, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before we get up.
Yes.
So Don Shula was a good example of this, right? He was about execution. So you practice these plays over and over and over again. But then when you got in the game, if you saw something that wasn't right, you had to change the play. So what is that? Is that execution? Is that scheme? Is that – and you were taught how to do that. And you were taught how to recognize that. And that scheme, that's smart coaching, that's smart football. But if you're – you know, if everyone does it the same, because everyone doesn't do it. When I was with the Baltimore Ravens and Brian Billick, he said, if you ever change one of my plays, I'll bench you. You run what I've told you to run. End of discussion. And so there are two coaches running the same thing.
Did you get benched?
Yeah.
You're like, that's a dumb play. We're doing something else.
That is a dumb offense is what it was.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we have our What Are the Odds around the corner. We're about an hour off of Jazz pregame coming up here on the Jazz Radio Network. What Are the Odds is going to be fun. Some Jazz questions, a Lamar Jackson question. Stay with us right here. It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I know I paid for an Apple Watch, but I could deal a lot less with its attitude. Time to stand up. Looks like you didn't achieve your fitness goals last night. Get out of here.
Looks like you've gained a few pounds, huh, buddy? You need to go exercise.
I'm worried about your heart there, pal. Excuse you? How dare you? Yeah, look, I'm doing a radio show. I don't have time to stand up.
Right. You stink, and I don't like you!
Yeah, Apple, get out of my business.
Hey, I need to give a shout-out to my son, Zach, who's actually listening to us on the radio.
Welcome.
Yeah. Love you, bud.
Oh, that's it, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Short and sweet?
No, Zach's amazing.
Good kid.
Good kid.
He's a good kid. Yep. Here's what we got. We have a what are the odds. I give you a scenario, Scott. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen.
All right.
We got a couple here to get at. I'm pretty sure that the Jazz, I mean, I just have no clue what's going to go on. With all these guys who are out.
You need to.
The Spurs.
You need to know better than that.
I know.
You can't have no clue.
The Jazz are locked in. I mean, the Spurs. Excuse me. Are locked in basically. They can't do worse than a bottom four, a bottom three. I think in record, and so they have the best. They have the same odds as the very worst team,
right?
As they do in the spot that they are right now to be able to get you know, the Victor Wembanyama lottery.
Well, it's designed so that games like this, where the Jazz are playing the Spurs,
they can play hard.
Will be competitive,
right? They can play hard, and it won't matter. They'll still be bad. Yeah. So, what are the odds the Jazz win tonight versus the Spurs? No Colin Sexton, no Jordan Clarkson, no Lauri Markkanen, no Rudy Gay. Simone Fontecchio, I'm still trying to find out if he's he was listed as questionable. I don't know if he's a game time decision or what. So what are the odds that they win this game tonight?
I was going to go a David Robinson 50%, kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
But that's too
lame.
And it's game day, so I got to go with Mark Eaton, 53%. Okay. May he rest in peace.
He will be available tonight.
Who's he?
Simone Fontecchio.
Oh, well, that changes it for me.
He'd had a game that he had, 27 two games ago? So if now that Simone's in, I just created my own opinion off of that, knowing that. Simone Fontecchio's in this game tonight. He's playing his butt off. This Jazz team win this game, and I'm going to give it a Nate Newton 61% chance that they win it.
Wow.
I'm still not, like, aggressive
Nate
about
Newton.
Picking it. Again,
is he related to Olivia Newton?
No, he's not. No, he's not. But he did drop a ton of weight. He didn't even look like himself.
Yeah. Those guys, someone pokes them with a pin and they pop.
I know. As soon as their career's over, linemen all get skinny.
I wish I could find that pin.
See,
I could pop.
Where's that pin? What are the odds that Lamar Jackson starts week one for the Ravens? He's requesting the trade. Teams are kind of floating out there, pretending like they're not that interested.
I think it's really hard for him to move. Just a circle. It's hard. It's a big ask. I'll say he's really dumb if he holds out. Right? He needs to. That's not a good thing. I'll say it's relative. I'm going to say Randy Gradishaw.
Oh wow.
Yeah, Randy Gradishaw, 53%.
I'm going to say that it's actually...
He's one of my favorite players, by the way.
I think that he's going to have less of a... Because I'll tell you what he doesn't have is probably a beef against his teammates or even John Harbaugh. And in the end, the front office can do whatever they're going to do. And I think that if things start to fall apart a little bit, Lamar Jackson, he's going to take that $34.5 million, whatever the franchise tag money is, and he's going to play for this Ravens team, and he's going to go, you know what? I'm going to give myself a better shot to go somewhere else in the offseason if that's my option. Or the Ravens have to up me again. So I'm going to go with a Reggie. No.
You're really trying too hard on this.
I know. I'm just thinking too much. Well, okay. I'm going to go with a Jerry Rice 88%. Or no, 80%. Sorry. I was going to say Michael Irvin, and then I went Jerry Rice 80%.
Keith Jackson was 88.
Okay. What are the odds that Lauri Markkanen plays three out of the last six games? Now, we know he's out tonight, so that could be a possibility of the next six games. Where is he going to be at after tonight? What are the odds Lauri Markkanen plays three out of those last six games?
He's the finisher.
Oh!
Okay.
I didn't think about that.
So he's going to finish out this season. He's from that Finnish stock. They are tough people. Let's say... I'll give it a high percentage. I'm going to give it a 78%.
Ooh.
What's his name? Ed Too Tall Jones? No, he was 72.
He was 72.
Harvey Martin was 78. Or was he 79?
Leon Lett was 78.
Yeah, we'll go with one of those.
Okay.
Richmond Webb.
I'm going to go with
Bruce Smith.
I think he's going to play 3 out of 6. I'm going to go with a... Dwight Clark, 87% chance.
Wow.
There you go.
The catch.
I don't know why I was thinking so much of these 49ers.
Dwight Clark, he died very young.
Yes. You know, I think of Todd Christensen in that same situation, too. You go, man.
Yeah.
Died too young. They're way too talented. They could have offered so much more to the game of football, too. Yeah. Let's take the break. We will come back. When we return, let's chat a little bit about Utah's latest from spring practices. You'll hear from Coach Kyle Whittingham. And you'll hear about this quarterback situation. I know that there's, you know, not really a competition because it's going to be Cam if he's healthy. But what about that quarterback number two, which could be a little bit more useful if you're not going to have 100% healthy Cam Newton? Or Cam Newton, my heavens. Cam Rising, jeez. I've got all these other cams in my head, all these quarterbacks that are currently not playing. All right, more to go around the corner. 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City, and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvale. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig and Scott Mitchell, we are Unrivaled. Thanks for being a part of the program. You can download the KSL Sports app if you have not gotten that yet. That's how you stream the station across the entire day. Go to the whatever your app store is that you use, and wherever you get apps, and download the KSL Sports app. If you have not done it yet, you can stream the KSL Sports Zone all day. We've also got any of the games and things like that you could stream on KSLSports.com. It's all right there as well on our state-of-the-art app. So there you go. Let me see here. We got to get right into it here, Scott, because we have some sound from Utah spring football practices. An update on this QB2 race, right? Which might not necessarily matter, but spring is the time where we have these types of discussions, and it's going to matter a little bit more this year. So let's kick off the hour with the cut. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Found at the Costco near you, at the Associated Foods near you, Holiday Oil Maverick, all in the refrigerated section because that's how they stay fresh. There you go. So, Scott, let's talk about spring and how when we don't have a lot to talk about, we're very excited about finding out what a team is going to look like. But we won't know necessarily until after that second transfer portal situation kind of figures itself out. Certainly there are guys who, even if you're on the cusp of being not 100% healthy, and if you're a veteran, you're kind of sitting out. Cam Rising, of course, having to come back from a knee injury after the Rose Bowl, that's a significant setback, and it causes a little bit of concern for folks who are wondering what that quarterback spot is going to look like if you're going to three-peat as Pac-12 champions. So let's get a little bit of an update on that. Here's what Coach Kyle Whittingham had to say about the quarterback situation as of today with this Utah team.
Incremental progress. We still got a long ways to go, and we're starting to see a little bit of separation, but nothing that's worthy of comment right now. You know, it's four practices down, 11 to go. So hopefully as we continue to get deeper into spring ball, we'll see even more separation in a good way. You know, guys separate themselves by emerging from the pack. So that's the number one objective this spring is to get that solidified. If not solidified, at least a really good start on it for fall.
So the QB2 be determined.
Oh, boy.
It hasn't been determined yet.
Make a T-shirt out of it, Jeremy. Scott was very proud of himself.
I like how coaches talk about this, that there's been a little separation. It's not quite the separation. And I'll always fall back on this, and I believe this to my core. They know. They know who they want to be that guy.
Right.
And I think some coaches even scheme things to a point to where they give a certain player an advantage over another one. Now, they'll keep statistics, right? And they'll say, well, you both had the same amount of throws, but it's kind of when the throws come, when they don't, you know, what was your percentage? How'd you grade out? You know,
would they try to aim for the right guy, the guy that they want?
Yes.
Then so they go.
Of course they would.
Hey, I want you to throw this route because they know maybe the other guy would be better than the other in that sense.
Like you may call, you know, you talk about scheme and Jimbo Fisher. They may have one guy go in, so he's with the better unit, the better players. It's a better scenario, and the other guy goes in with the scrubs who hardly know what they're doing against the first defense, and it just it's hard to execute at a level that you go, oh yeah, we really saw something special there. Of course, that they'll call situations that might be more aggressive, more slanted towards, you know, the strength of one player over another. Yeah. Coaches are not like, nothing is equal when you deal with coaches or you deal with players. Like, they know, like, you just when you're around it as much as they are, you just know who's there and who isn't there.
So are you saying philosophically, there's never really a true quarterback battle?
I don't really.
It's just pretense. It's just them setting up a scenario so everybody from the outside and even a little bit on the inside feels like, oh, we had a good shake at how this thing works out, and the coaches made the decision, and they're going to go with this guy.
I don't even think it's for the outside at all. I don't think the coaches care a whole lot about what everybody on the outside thinks, but they do care about what the fan base thinks and the alumni base and what have you. So there is some, you know, they give a little bit of a, you know, speculation, but for the most part, they keep a lot of folks in the dark. But internally, like, it's more of, and I think it's even less today because of the transfer portal, but it used to be where we want to give you hope that you have a chance. And part of that
I would think they'd want to give the idea that you have a chance because they don't want you to go to the transfer portal super quickly either.
But regardless, you're going to go anyways. Like, even if they go, okay, it's a fair competition, you may stick around and try hard and do all that stuff, but it's like, yeah, if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to go somewhere. And they may get a guy in the program and go, man, this isn't working out, and try to get rid of that player. But it also sends a message. When you're on a team, you want to know that your coaches are going to play the best players because that gives you the best chance to win. If the coaches are playing favorites, if there's no chance for players to truly compete, then players actually get disenfranchised. It actually creates like a riff in a program, and then you stop believing what your coach is trying to sell you on culture, you know, and you go, yeah, that sounds good and that's nice and everything, but that's not really how it is. And so then players go, man, it's just every man for himself. I'm going to just watch and watch out for my own back and take care of me. And that's just a bad, bad, bad culture to be a part of. Good coaches understand how to create a culture. So one of the things they do is they'll create a council, right? A players' council.
Right. So
You have a voice. You have a say-so in what happens here. And it's not this dictatorship and my way or the highway kind of thing.
Well, let me
– that just helps in the culture.
I think that Kyle Whittingham – probably loves this a little bit because, I mean, ultimately, spring football is the time where we start going, who's QB2 and who's QB3? And he's going, I'm glad you guys are worrying about this stuff. And so we'll move the cups around over here, and you can look under the – and you guessed wrong because this little shell game he's playing is like, hey, over here, we're worried about these other things. Now, I don't know.
Well, they'll continue this competition.
All the way into the fall, right? Or through the fall.
Through the fall. Yeah. Even during the season.
Because now, here's where it's really going to start to ramp up, and it will actually make a difference, is if you start to find out, you start to hear rumblings about how Cam Rising's coming along on coming back from that knee injury, and if there's even the slightest delay, I mean, coming back from that since the Rose Bowl, it's already a quick turnaround. Compared to kind of what the quote-unquote average would be on
eight
on
months a, for the, to start the game, you know, so you
against Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's 7 months if you're going to get fall camp in. That's not a lot of time. 8 months is not a lot
and
of
so
time.
That's what I'm saying is that like then it does start to like you do all of this right now and you get these guys going and you get them competing against each other for that sake. Because they could be starting against Florida versus just going, oh, who's your number two, right? Which is what BYU's doing, going, hey, That's a very different conversation about who's your number two quarterback. It's important to know who your backup is. It's important to know who the guy is who's going to come in for the guy. But in the case for Utah and BYU, if the guy is set and they're healthy, then this conversation is fun for the spring. But it doesn't make nearly as much of a difference as and they even get to the point where, and this is I thought was a really funny one too, because then you start getting into the minutia of what the qualities are that make good separation for quarterbacks. Here's what Kyle said too.
Well, taking care of the football is always job one for a quarterback, making sure we possess the ball, don't turn it over, moving the chains, getting us in the end zone, all that stuff. But, you know, the stuff that's more intangible, the leadership, the it factor, you know, that field general mentality that you look for in a quarterback, the guy that can take command in the huddle, you know, that really has that presence. And so we're looking for that as well.
Oh, boy. Oh boy!
Some here's
some
head what coach
need.
Talk. Some some coach speak.
No, it's really about a player. If you're going to play quarterback in the Pac-12 today, you have to have elite skills. Like that. That's what you have to have. You can be a leader in the huddle, and you can be a rah-rah guy. But if you can't get it done on the field, and if you can't make plays, then you're dead. Okay, let's go back to Charlie Brewer when he was here. Like, Charlie Brewer probably had a command of the offense. Mm-hmm. He probably, you know, he knew where to go with the football. He, you know, but when it got to making plays, he just couldn't do it. He just wasn't doing it. And he'd shown that he could do it in the past at Baylor. He was really good, actually, for a period of time. But he just didn't get it done. And then in comes Cam Rising, and it's like, third down in next week wasn't enough. Like, Cam Rising was so good at making plays, extending drives, mm-hmm. as Kyle Whittingham said, getting those are the things that are important. Okay. If you have confidence and if you have those elite skills, guess what? You're not going to turn the ball over. All right. You're just not. You're just not going to do it. And if you want players who are confident, who believe in themselves, who are going to go out into a game and play with a championship mindset. That's what you're looking for. And that's the it factor. You know, he talks about the it factor. The it factor is elite skills. Someone can make things happen when it breaks down, and someone everyone on that team believes in that player to execute in a way where you're going to win games. And that's what Cam Rising showed. Now, I firmly believe that the guy that has the best ability to do that is Nate Johnson. He has some elite skill somewhere above anyone else, probably anyone else other than Cam Rising.
So you like just like give me something that you do that's elite, and then we'll build off of that.
Yeah, and remember, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to, you know, because. What you're looking at is Cam Rising not playing the first part of the season. And if you're really serious about making a run at the college football playoffs, you got to win. You got to win at home, and you got to go to Baylor and win. And then you got to play Weber State. And then your first conference game, I believe, is home against UCLA. Now that's 9 months. And that's more of a realistic time for when Cam Rising comes back. So you need that guy to show something in those first three games. And you can get by with a guy who's a runner early on in the season and an elite runner. And that's, you know, and maybe doesn't know everything, or he's not comfortable throwing or reading defenses early on, because there's a level of maturation between practice and executing in games. And it just takes game reps to do it. But you can get away with stuff if you can run. You can still make, if you have an elite ability to make things happen. When you're still getting comfortable with the other parts of your game.
Let's talk about another area of, I wouldn't say concern. I mean, you're going to be replacing a unanimous All-American in Clark Phillips, obviously. And so you go, okay, well, who's going to pick up that slack? And certainly trying to bolster that secondary is something that's on coach's mind.
Safety's looking good, especially the first two, Cole Bishop and Sione Vaque. Those are the ones that are running with the first group. We still have Nate Ritchie on the shelf, not ready to go yet. He's kind of like Mekhi Bernard. It's a week-to-week thing. We'll see what happens there. But we need to find out who the backups are. You know, we got those first three, you know, counting Nate, although Nate's not getting reps. We got to find out who's number four and number five are going to be.
Yeah, but who are your corners? Are we talking about Jatravis Broughton? Are we talking
JT's
about...
is really good. Samaya Vaughn is very good.
Samaya Vaughn, we saw some flashes of, yes.
Fabian Marks
okay.
is actually really good. They've got the young freshman Snowden. They've got another DB that's come in.
How quickly can a freshman like Snowden come in? And I mean, like well, they asked a lot out of Lander Barton in year one, and he ended up rising to the challenge.
But it took time.
It took a minute.
It always takes time. Clark Phillips, and what it is, it's like you see it, but you just don't quite react to it yet. And so it's that hesitation because it's coming at you at a speed you've never seen in your life. Like high school football is not college football. And even junior college football is not college football. It's just, there's just a higher step. And it will help Utah to play Florida and Baylor in their non-conference when they start conference play because they'll be used to that tempo. And they won't be playing Eastern Idaho and Weber State and somebody else, you know, in their non-conference that just doesn't have the same speed that when you play a Power 5 school. And so that actually helps because you really want to get out of the gate when you're in your conference play really ready to play and up to that same tempo. But when you're a freshman going in, like Lander Barton at Florida, his head was spinning. It had to have been spinning. You're in the swamp.
He got beat up a lot, having to be the guy who was supposed to contain Richardson, right? Anthony Richardson, and you go, this is tough.
Now, Lander Barton goes into Florida this year. It's a different game.
It is.
It's a way different game. And that's the challenge of college football is getting enough of your guys up to game speed and playing at a high level, early on in the season. So you're not having to take your lumps, possibly lose a game or two because you're developing players. And to me, that's what's very exciting about Utah's defense is you're not having to do that. You've got a lot of guys with a lot of experience. And I mean, Nate Ritchie, before he left on his mission, was pretty good. He was really good, actually. And so he comes back and you just never know how guys come back off of missions. Some guys, it's just like they never left. And other guys, it takes a bit of time. And I don't know where Nate Ritchie is right now with all of that.
It is fascinating to see what they're going to do throughout the rest of spring. I think if you're a Utah fan, there are some guys leaving, obviously. I think that but the amount of folks returning, it should be super exciting. That defense is going to be largely, I mean, I don't think, and this isn't me trying to rip on Mo Diabate, but he ended up not being like the world beater that I think we were kind of sold that he's going to be. He ended up being pretty effective, I think, toward the end, but it took him a while to kind of get into it. And
Gabe Reed, same way. He was
very, very good and turned out to be. But the guys who came into that Pac-12 championship game gave a lot of hope, I think, where you go, look, these defensive linemen are no joke who are sitting behind and getting reps and are going to be very, very good, I think. And I think that honestly, Jaquinin Jackson, you think about him maybe being RB1, you think about guys who you want to see, Money Parks, who I think everybody looks at and goes, don't sleep on that dude. He could be making some insane plays, but get him the ball, right? You just hope that a guy like Money Parks.
And young quarterbacks have a hard time sometimes with that. Young quarterbacks, so that you kind of get comfortable with the game from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So tight ends, running backs, kind of slot receivers, and then you work your way out and down the field with wide receivers. So you get a young, inexperienced quarterback in there. It's a little bit harder for him to throw the ball down the field to a wide receiver. It just takes time to evolve, and you hope that Cam Rising is back because there are, and it's Makai Cope is another guy who's really good at the wide receiver position, and it'll be interesting to see where he gets. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting how they play Brant Keithy, right? Because you got Yasmin, who will probably play the down tight end, but you can play Keithy in a slot position. I mean, Utah has a ton of options, provided that they're completely healthy. Offense. I mean, across the board, they do.
Yeah. Let's take a break here. We're about a half hour away from Jazz pregame right here on the Jazz Radio Network and on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. You don't want to miss any of it. We're going to chat a little bit more around the corner here. We've got our NFL roundup that we're going to sneak in here, plus a two-minute drill that's tilted locally to the college basketball coaches that could find their way out of town. Mark Madsen is officially on his way out of town. What's going to end up happening with Ryan Odom? That's almost official, I think, that he could be gone as well. So stay right here with us. We got more to talk about. Oh, we have some tickets to give away, though, don't we? It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. So let's give you a pair of tickets to Three Doors Down, USANA Amphitheater, right out of my high school days, man. 801-575-ZONE. That's call number 12 to 801-575-ZONE. You win a pair of tickets to see Three Doors Down at USANA Amphitheater on July 20th. So 801-575-ZONE. You get those tickets right now if you're caller number 12. Let's come back right here. Stay with us, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy. On 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
All right, there you go. It is the NFL Roundup, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. So let's do some NFL Roundup here, Scott. Let's get into some NFL stories, if you will. I was looking at something. I don't know if the computer senses that I like food. I don't remember clicking on anything of this fashion. But the Andy Reid... original Andy's world famous cheeseburger t-shirt and hoodie just keeps popping up. There is a t-shirt. It's got like a cartoon of Andy Reid eating a double fisting that burger, right? Just boom. And I want to get one now. I got to get one of these Andy Reid cheeseburger t-shirts or hoodie. Should I go with the hoodie? I'm going to show it to Scott. Look at it. Look at the is that an insult? Is that insulting? If you're Andy Reid, you look at that and go, why would they do this to me?
No, look at George Foreman. The George Foreman grill. I mean, Andy Reid could just make a killing off of this. Probably already is.
Speaking of making a killing, I did want to bring something up. This isn't actually in the thing, but I was fascinated by the idea of how much coaches in the pros are making versus how much coaches in college are making. Okay? So the top 10... coaches in the NFL salaries are as follows. Bill Belichick, $20 million a year.
Okay.
Sean Payton, $18 million a year.
Interesting.
Pete Carroll, $13 million. Sean McVay, $12.5 million. Mike Tomlin, $12.5 million. Mike Vrabel, $9.5 million. Doug Peterson, $8.5 million. Okay, so there's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
Okay, coaches. Think of Sean, just really quick, Sean Payton.
Sean Payton, $18 million to go to the Denver.
Absence
Broncos.
Makes the heart grow fonder. I mean, when was the last time he really did something incredible? Is it like he won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, but people look Sean at just McVay. Kind of the overall job in New Orleans as a place that's never been successful
I'm just saying I don't know that he's had a lot. I mean, Doug Peterson, look what he brought a Super Bowl to. A team that never won a Super Bowl.
He's $10 million a year more than Doug Peterson.
Right. I'm just saying that you go in the broadcasting booth and all of a sudden you become the smartest person in the room. You become very popular. You're interviewing for a job every single week because people are hearing your thoughts, your commentary, and they go, wow, we really like this guy. He's pretty and now he's bidding. I'm just saying that if you're out of coaching for a little while, you may have a better shot at getting a bigger deal than if you're in the grind every day, all the time, blah, blah, blah.
So well, I'm seeing two different lists here. Because on that list, they get to $8.5 million pretty quickly, but the top 10 don't actually – there's only one under $10 million, and that's Mike Vrabel at $9.5 million. Josh McDaniels, Kyle Shanahan.
Mike Vrabel, what has he done?
Right. Josh McDaniels – you want to ask about somebody who's never done anything? How about Josh McDaniels at $10.5 million? Kyle Shanahan at $10.5 million. Now, he's a guy who has a lot. He's on the cusp of something.
He's close.
Right?
He is close.
John Harbaugh, $12 million. That's kind of a steal. The biggest biggest steal on this list is probably Andy Reid.
Where's Andy Reid?
He's tied for sixth with John Harbaugh at $12 million. But he's in sixth behind Mike Tomlin, Sean McVay, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, and Bill Belichick. Now, Belichick, and I even think Sean Payton, could maybe be put ahead of Andy Reid in terms of how much somebody would be wanted at a franchise.
Who would go ahead of Andy Reid again?
I think Bill Belichick and Sean Payton.
You know who I'd put at the head of the class today?
Andy Reid.
Look what he did in Philadelphia. Look what he's done in Kansas City.
And he's right now, he's hot.
He's way hot. I don't know there's any, but I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
If I'm picking a coach, because Belichick's kind of at the end of it.
Who doesn't deserve $10 million? Kyle Shanahan or Mel Tucker? Now, in the college game, it is a weird thing.
That
because
guy like put a mask on. He robbed folks is what he did.
So we were talking about those. So compared to the top paid college coaches, that is wild because the top 10 goes Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, Kirby Smart. Those guys are all over $11 million a year.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's on the cusp of 12. Lincoln Riley at 10.3, Brian Kelly at almost 10, Mel Tucker at 9.6, Jimbo Fisher, Ryan Day. Now, Ryan Day's at 9.5, it looks like now. So that's been updated. So the top 10 of college coaches and the top 10 of NFL coaches, the average is more in the pro ranks, but college isn't that far behind.
Not that far behind.
My heavens, wait, amount of money. Ooh. Mel Tucker is number six on this list.
You went and were going to ask me who doesn't deserve to be at $10 million?
Who doesn't deserve to be at $10 million? Kyle Shanahan or Josh McDaniels?
Really?
Okay.
Come Sorry. On.
What about Mike
ask
Tomlin?
Me a hard,
he's at 12
ask
and
me
a half.
A hard question.
He's at 12 and a half, but he's won a Super Bowl. Or is it two?
You know, he's a guy that's going to need – he may need to leave Pittsburgh. I don't know that he ever will. And the Steelers are a team that they don't like change. Like, they keep guys around, coaches, all of them.
Is it the Maras or the Rooneys? I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and they like to keep things kind of, you know, status quo.
I just think it's hilarious.
Which I like. I like that confidence in.
Well, that's where you're at with the college coaches.
Yeah,
and Mel Tucker is $9.6 million. You know who hates that the most? Who's not even in the top 10? Jim Harbaugh. At Michigan, looking at Michigan State's coach, who's earning $3 million, $3.5 million, $4 million more than he is.
The problem with Michigan is they go to the college football playoffs and they get kind of what they got.
Escorted out.
And they go, you know, that's more painful to them than if they're Mel Tucker and they're not at Michigan State, you know.
No, it's not.
It is.
Beating Ohio State 2 years in a row?
No.
Yeah, that's worth it, dude. Like, he probably.
Yeah, before he lost
some,
like seven.
I know.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. They would rather.
That's why you got a pay cut.
They would much rather win the. They would much rather go twice and lose in the college football playoff and beat Ohio State two times on the way to get there. Am I wrong? Come on. There's probably a Michigan booster out there who'd give him $9.5 million just for beating Ohio State every year. That's probably a bigger bonus. They're like, win the Big Ten or beat Ohio State. Probably a bigger bonus to beat Ohio State. All right, so there you go. There's your highest paid group there. Jeremy, it looked like you had something you wanted to say here. What's going on? No? Okay.
I do want to bring something up because I want to make sure we get to it.
Okay.
So the Chicago Bears are campaigning not to be on Hard Knocks.
Whoa.
They're saying that other teams have better stories.
Now, I saw this because it was like, oh, the requirements, they fulfill the requirements, but so do a handful of other teams. What are the requirements? Be bad? What are the requirements to be?
All I know is last year was the best thing I think the Detroit Lions could ever do is be on Hard Knocks.
They were kind of built for that.
I think they won so many fans across the board because of being on Hard Knocks and the way they handled it.
Dan Campbell is built for Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
The guys who need to ignore the cameras were able to do it. But if you're the Bears, are you doing it because if you're on Hard Knocks, you're on par with like the Browns? You'll be mentioned in the same conversation as because now you're the Lions of your division.
Could you imagine the Jets? Because they do mention, like, put the Jets on. They meet the criteria.
They say that the Chicago Bears are one of four teams to meet the criteria. What the heck is the criteria? Is it really just be a bad team? Have a high draft pick? What is it?
No, there's more, like, not making the playoffs.
No, okay. It's
new coach. You can't be a new coach.
No new coaches?
Yeah, something about not make the playoffs a couple years ago. Yeah, there's things like that.
That would be hard if it was your first year as a coach.
What if you got that? What if you get that? Oh, the Jets are in there? They do?
They do.
How?
That's what I'm saying. Like, put the Jets on
Hard Knocks. Oh, see, that would be interesting.
Right. That would be – that would just be – that would Robert be Sala, a train wreck we'd all want to tune into.
Yes, and Robert Sala is interesting as a head coach.
He is.
And if Aaron Rodgers is there, you get to have a team where Aaron Rodgers qualifies to be on Hard Knocks for once.
Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Give me that. You know what, Bears? You have a point. Imagine getting that letter from HBO. Congratulations. You have fit the criteria to be on Hard Knocks this year. That is, I don't know what the equivalent is. It's like somebody telling you.
Have the Kansas City Chiefs been on it?
There's no
way.
They
make the playoffs too many times.
Yeah, there's no
way. You know who would be good? How about Jacksonville?
Made the playoffs last year.
Do they meet the criteria? Who are the teams that meet the criteria?
There's four
teams. They have to not. There's only four teams.
I know. Who are they?
The Bears, the Jets.
Got to be the Commandos, right? Yeah, the Commanders.
No, they made the playoffs two years ago.
No, it says.
Is that one of the teams?
The Saints. Commanders and Jets are the other three teams that are eligible.
Any team can say, I want to do it.
Yeah, the Jets.
But what they want is...
drama.
Right. But in the Commanders, woof. Imagine the drama
there.
New
owner, maybe?
The Saints would be interesting, and so would the Jets. I actually agree. The Bears aren't interesting to me.
Yeah.
Give me the Jets,
or give me
the Commanders.
Wait, Jamal Williams, the Saints again? Him pranking Taysom Hill?
Jamal Williams crying on Hard Knocks was
not the highlight.
It was too much for me. Yeah. It was too much. Okay. Next
up. It was three fingers and half a butt cheek.
That was Scott's only thing that he loved.
That's my favorite part.
So the Panthers view Bryce Young's height not as a disadvantage. Well, it's not an advantage. So what is it? They just say that it's not a deal breaker for them. In fact, according to sources, Bryce Young is the preferred quarterback out of CJ Stroud and Bryce Young for Frank Reich. Are you missing on something here? Because you and your buddy go different directions on this. You love CJ Stroud. He loves Bryce Young.
So I don't know that height is what I'm concerned with.
What are you concerned with then?
It's durability. That's more of like
Bryce Young wasn't really hurt in his career that much.
Yeah.
How many games did he miss this last year?
A bunch. And it's not this year, it's body type. It's like you got to be able,
he's a little bit more slight.
You got to
yes.
be able to stand up to a lot of the pounding that you're going to take. Mm. And I just like that body type better. And I saw Bryce Young make
CJ Stroud is Scott's type, by the way.
No, look,
if you're wondering.
Look, I saw a lot of the throws. And I just really liked a lot of throws that C.J. Stroud made. I really did. And I liked the accuracy of him. I like his body type. Now,
he's a bigger dude, yeah.
It doesn't matter as much in the NFL today because it's a little bit less physical for quarterbacks. So, you know, you can have a slighter body frame and still be fairly effective.
I see some of these guys who, you know, when GMs get set on somebody or if a head coach gets set on somebody, I'm always a little bit wary, right? What is it that they are totally sure about with those guys? Or are they just trying to be confident, you know, when they go, we really love that dude. We're taking him. I like that there's a little bit of intrigue, too, going into the draft. Is it going to be C.J. Stroud? Is it going to be Bryce Young?
It's going to be. Yes.
Hendon Hooker. Oh, both of them?
It's just going to be one and then the other. That's what's really going to happen. So,
who's got the second pick then? Don't the Bears have the second pick? Oh, that's right. Your Texans. Oof.
My Texans.
What about Davis Mills? He's out of there
then? I would hate being the second pick. It's as bad as Zach Wilson going to the Jets. Might be worse.
Yeah, if you're going to Houston, you're freaking right.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
Although it's warmer weather in Houston. It's a thing.
I'd rather be
in New York. Wants to go practice in like Long Island.
See, but at least the Jets have like a storied history, although it's not like a lot. The history isn't a lot of winning, but it is. It's definitely more of a big brand compared to the cartoon that is the Houston Texans. That's all I'm saying. All right. Hey, J.J. Watt says the player safety and fan concerns are the two reasons you don't need to do the flex schedule. Now, I think that they voted and it was. And they're shelving it for now. They're not going to do the flex. But when he says player safety and fans, what does that mean? That the fans would be kind of – because the fans may have traveled, bought a ticket, or they're getting ready to get there.
Let me just tell you
– there's no reason to be able to do this, right?
Okay, this is stupid, okay? And let me tell you why. Both teams are going to be in the same position from a physical standpoint. And I will just tell you, from someone who played in a lot of Thursday games, that 10 days and that 10 days late in the season is a godsend. Now, if you have to travel, it's a little bit different story. But if you can be home on a Thursday, it's a beautiful thing. The fan thing is, with the flex schedule, is basically the game was set for a Sunday, and all of a sudden, abruptly, they change it to a Thursday game. And so you've put economic dollars, or you've made reservations, or you've paid for – maybe you fly into a game. Maybe you stay in a hotel. Maybe whatever it might be, because there are people that do that. And now all of a sudden that's changed to a Thursday, and you're like, well, to go to the game now, I got to get off of work, and can I get off of work? And you know, and it's hard. It's hard for a lot of people. I argue that the fan that goes to an NFL game probably has a net worth or a job situation that's pretty flexible. They can kind of do what they want. I mean, the average person out there, the blue collar worker, isn't going to NFL games today. So that the argument with both the physical side of it and player safety, and really the financial side for a fan, it's a weak argument.
I just, they got to figure something out, because man, Amazon is not working out. Put Al Michaels on something that's going to be worth watching. Don't let that guy dry out on the vine, man.
Give Amazon some time.
Keep he and Herbie together.
They're not going away.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have our two-minute drill next. We're about 12 minutes away from Jazz pregame starting up right here on the Jazz Radio Network. So stay tuned. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. We got to hurry, folks. It's time for the two-minute drill, and don't have a lot of time, so we still have a lot to talk about. Alex has been put on injured reserve.
I just hurt ow!
His headset attacked him.
Sprained my ear.
Sprained his ear.
My heavens.
He'll be out worse than turf toe is a sprained ear. All right, so, Mark Manson. He did it. He's hired as the Cal coach.
Yesterday we were like, psh, it's a Stanford guy. And you talk about a mess of a program. I guess because of the fact that, and this bummed me out because I wanted to see what UVU could do next year. And,
get a new coach next year. That's what they can do.
That's true.
It's hard when you're a program that's just a stepping stone. It really is. It's a tough thing.
Well, because now, do you perform still? I mean, do you carry that over? What's going to happen is now the big deal is when you become a coach at a new team, you take the three guys that you love, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the new thing. Speaking of which, so Mark Madsen. I don't know. I think people make a lot out of the, yeah, but you're Stanford. You can't go to Cal.
No.
It's like, look, no, I don't care about the rivalry stuff. It's
Kyle
like,
Whittingham's the BYU guy.
Right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But the part to me that is bothersome is, boy, you're going to Cal, dude. Do they care about basketball? The answer is probably not. And I guess proving that maybe they do, because they just picked up a winner. So congratulations. Mark Madsen, he's getting a payday. Cal's getting a better coach, so.
But what you're seeing in college basketball is, you can win at a lot of places. There's chances, there's opportunities, there's also not a lot of expectation, and you can make a lot in very short order. Mark Madsen's a known name. He's a guy that's from that area. He understands going into a program where there isn't a lot of expectation. And he over-delivered, at UVU, I think, more than maybe people thought. And he probably feels, I've got a formula, I've got a way that works, and I can go do it kind of in my hometown.
Kind of in your hometown. I'm bummed for UVU. And with that in mind, I'm bummed for Utah State, who it looks like, according to all the reports, Ryan Odom, likely going to take that VCU job. If that ends up being the case, Scott, you've got the only Utah team who made the NCAA tournament. The other closest team who was, you know, was possibly going to make it. And you've taken their coaches away, the guys who kind of led them. You know, Ryan Odom did a fantastic job coming from UMBC, but you know what? He's an East Coast guy, and the VCU job, heading back to the East Coast, that's exactly where he wanted to do. It's just a bummer that UVU and Utah State are going to have to kind of just start from scratch, I guess, in the coaching world. Now, they're going to Utah State's going to get a great coach. UVU's going to be a more difficult ask. You know, they got a winner in Mark Mattson. And
well, a lot of what you get, though, is you get young coaches that are up and coming and better, and so you have a couple of years of some pretty good coaches when you're at UVU and Utah State.
Scott, this is where we end. This is where we part ways.
Bye-bye.
The Jazz pregame coming up right here. Our two-minute drill brought to you by ReMedical, Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic, offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. ReMedical, renew, restore, reclaim. Visit ReMedical.com. Stay tuned for Jazz basketball coming up on the Jazz Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.